Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances by the Blessed Mother somewhere in the world. We go there, we look at the facts, look at the gathered information, what's been documented, and any kind of evidence or investigative details that might help us understand what went on. But the thing that we really have learned is that she's gone so many places all over the world through 2,000 years of visits. This is not just an occasional thing. Like you might think many Catholics know of maybe 5 or 6 apparitions. And to them, that's a lot. But after I've studied 101 of them out of the 2,600 some that there are, and those are just documented ones, she's been busy. There's a lot going on. The 101 that we present here over a couple years' time are certainly more well-evidenced, well-documented, and more detailed so that you can get more out of it. And we always are pleased to bring you the best information, carefully researched, and give it to you. You can do whatever you want with it. You can just listen. You can maybe feel educated, or perhaps it'll inspire you to look into more of your own. I should add that on my website, divinemysteries.info, that's I-N-F-O, there, if you click on the picture of Mary and go to the table of contents, you will get all 100 that are on there. Full story with all pictures, drawings, whatever, for each of those according to continent, country, and city. So it's like an international library. If you are bored and would like something to do, you could go and read up on any of those 100 anytime you wish. So that's divinemysteries.info, costs nothing, free, and it's just putting all the research out there so that people can explore anytime they want. And Mr. Donald Hartley is still recuperating nicely. He's not doing badly. He just needs more rest and more time and a clearance by the doctors before he turns his energies back to this, which that's like holding a racehorse back. He's raring to go, but he just needs to do what the doctors say first. And what his wife, who luckily is a nurse, what she also knows he needs to do. So he'll be with us eventually. He certainly listens to the programs later, and he's probably watching the Kansas City game tonight. So I doubt we'll see him listening live, but at least he's being entertained. So anyway, before we get going, we have two of our team with us. We have Michael from New Jersey, who is stuck in a blizzard and trapped by the snow. Hello, Michael.
Good evening. I got to get. It would help if I brought the microphone closer than 5 miles away.
Well, it won't help you in a snowstorm.
So we're going to see an interesting apparition.
Yep, we're going to Damascus, Syria, which is in
Damascus,
Middle East.
Syria.
Yep. Syria is next to Jordan and Lebanon and those countries in the Middle East. So should be an interesting story. And Kathy is also with us from Missouri. Hello, my friend Kathy.
Hi, John. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Me and Evie is here, my daughter Evie, and we are making a quilt.
That's productive listening.
Yeah.
I like that. So, I know that John the Virginian may be stuck in his own blizzard down that direction. And he has to get sleep to go to work if he can even get out to go to work or whatever he has to do. So he's probably got his hands full, but we might see him anyway at some point. And Kathy, you and I are going to get hit with a blizzard midweek here, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I love it. I'm very excited. Bring it on. Deep as you can get it.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to do a talk in Columbia on Wednesday night, driving from Springfield, 2.5 hours. So I don't think that's going to happen. So hopefully I can do it the following week. But I'm not traveling into that. I'm an adventuresome driver, to say the least. But I would know I would show up church in the middle of a snowstorm with nobody else showing up.
Yeah.
So not worth the drive for that kind of result. So we'll get it rescheduled. But, yep, that's right up your way. So anyway, so tonight we do go to Damascus, Syria. And this is a very interesting story. We'll probably go a couple weeks with it. It began in 1982 and ended in 1990 officially, although some things might have happened after that. And the visionary, her name was Myrna, which is Syrian for Maria. Interesting. Her full name was Myrna al-Akharas, A-K-H-A-R-A-S. And she was just 18 years old when she married her husband, Nicholas, in 1982. So they're newlyweds when this all started. A surprise for him, I'm sure. And in November of that year, her sister-in-law, Layla, actually became quite ill while praying fervently for her on November 22nd, 1982. Without any warning, her hands began to exude oil. Now, that doesn't mean she was sweating. We're talking about a different kind of oil. Two other ladies present insisted that she place her hands on Layla. And when she did, Layla was instantly healed. And Myrna was totally confused. All right, guys, that would probably shock any of us if we started having oil coming out of our hands, place it on a very sick person, and they're instantly healed. What would you think of that? I'm to you, Kathy.
Oh, my gosh, John, I didn't realize you were doing this one. I've actually looked into this one deeply. I think I even have a piece of cloth with some of the oil on it here somewhere. And,
really?
I've watched a lot of YouTube videos of Myrna and followed her, you know, and she's come to the United States and done some, you know, some conferences.
Yes, she has.
This is a really interesting, so I'm glad I get to refresh because it's been a while since I heard about her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So she was pretty confused when this happened, as would any of us, I'm sure. We had healing oil coming out of our hands, and she didn't expect that at all. But 5 days later, a small 3-inch picture of Mary with the Christ child in their bedroom began oozing enough oil to fill a saucer. Confused, family members were summoned, and they all began praying. Good thing to do. Within 1 hour, 4 more dishes of oil came from this little icon. Suddenly, hear any sounds around her, as if mysteriously blocked by some presence. Then a most beautiful voice said to her, "Myrna, do not be frightened. I am with you. Open the doors and do not deprive anyone from seeing me. Light a candle for me," unquote. Well, then she could hear sounds around her again. So, folks, I think she went into that little supernatural bubble that visionaries go into when they tune out the world around them. So now she's back, and the icon poured forth oil for the next 4 days. That's a lot, 4 days worth. The clergy and civil authorities all investigated for any evidence of a fraud or trick, of course, they could only conclude that oil was indeed coming from the picture. When they asked Myrna to pray in front of them, having washed her hands well, the oil would flow from her palms again. They were impressed that she was not more religious than most others. She prayed very little, only went to church once a week, and loved to dance and swim and laugh like other young people. One day, a priest was kneeling near Myrna while she was praying, and he heard her say, "Father, I feel like the Virgin has entered into me." Then he saw a brilliant liquid flowing abundantly from her palms. A bishop who was also present in the room noted that the oil had the scent of myrrh, or holy oil. Medical doctors and scientists deciphered the origin of the healing oil that continued to exude from Myrna's hands when she prayed. Thousands of people began to visit the icon in her home. Okay, that would be a bit rough. Thousands of people wanted to come into your bedroom to see the holy icon. Thousands of people coming into your bedroom. Mike, what would you do if thousands of people wanted to come into your bedroom?
Well, the first thing I would say is you wouldn't fit. But, you know, prior to tonight, the only Layla I ever heard of was this one.
Oh, you're awesome.
Well, so much for that.
Yeah.
But to have 1,000 people in my bedroom, I said, wait a minute. First of all,
like
you ain't going to fit.
Sound like you had a party going on in there right now.
And second of all, I need to get a proper zoning permit.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the sick gathered in her courtyard asking to be anointed with the healing oil. Phenomenal cures resulted for many of them. So this wasn't imaginary. Real things were happening and real healings were going on. Well, on December 15th, 1982, at 11:37 p.m., that's very precise, while a huge crowd of people were praying in front of Myrna's little picture, she felt an invisible being tug at her arm and firmly escort her to the roof garden. She was afraid and knelt on the tile floor. When she looked up, she saw the Virgin Mary in front of her. Quote, "She shined as if she were covered with diamonds. I was afraid, and I ran away screaming." Her husband and family were overwhelmed and confused. What was going on? Now, I'm going to stop there for a second because this reminds me when Catherine Labouré had a little kid tug on her and say, "Come, come with me to see the Blessed Virgin." And she could see that glowing little child or guardian angel or whoever it was. But in this case, this was an invisible being that tugged on her and dragged her to the roof where she saw the Virgin Mary. Unfortunately, she had a reaction like many of us might. We were afraid and ran away screaming. Not a glorious beginning here. And her family says, really wondering what the heck's going on here. So on December 18th, 1982, Myrna was once again mysteriously escorted by an invisible being to the roof garden. But this time, her husband and 9 others followed her. From the roof, Myrna observed something strange across the street in the upper part of a tree. Quote, "There was a large, luminous white globe, like a large diamond ball, sitting on a tree limb. The ball opened, splitting from the top and dividing into 2 half-moons. As the halves opened, a bow of light appeared over the top, and inside was the same beautiful lady. As the ball disappeared, the lady seemed to be standing on the branch of the tree. She's good at that, by the way. She had a white veil that covered her hair. The veil was a part of her dress. Over her right shoulder was a sky blue cape that wrapped around her back and over her left side. The white dress covered her feet, and only her hands could be seen. The dress and cape seemed to be made of white and blue light. From her right hand hung a long rosary. I'm going to stop there for a minute. It's a very interesting description, similar in many ways to others. And, of course, that beautiful lady description seems to be in almost every apparition story. Any comments from both of you about her appearance and how all this is coming down?
Well, this is the first one in my memory where oil was involved. I could be wrong, but some kind of oil was put into the mix.
Yeah, it's been in a few others, actually some of the more recent modern ones have had oil. But we'll get to those as those.
I wonder if anybody would say, hey, wait a minute, you can change the oil on my car. I'll never have to do it again.
Stay focused. So, Kathy, you have any reactions to this description?
Yeah, that's wild how the moon appeared on the branch and then split in half, and then Mary was standing on it. Of course, she does stand on trees, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Like a Fatima.
Yeah, could be standing on a little cloud, which is hard for us to imagine too. But so a tree limb makes more sense than standing on a little cloud. But she can do anything. She can float above the ground and not even touch the ground.
She may be telling people tongue in cheek, you don't have to go out on a limb to believe this.
Oh my gosh, Michael!
He is very witty this evening. Yeah. Hey, Mike,
well,
you can actually go on YouTube.
Pardon
and
me?
You can find.
And I can what?
You can find this seer on YouTube, and you can watch that oil develop on her hands. It is wild to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got to see that. I haven't seen.
You know
that
what's
yet.
Also interesting is that in some cases doctors use oil in their healing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When the priest does the anointing of the sick, they do oil on the forehead
right.
and the hands.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And then baptism, they make three crosses, I think, on the top of the head.
And if you remember, Mary Magdalene anointed Jesus with an oil, and some researchers say it's an oil of spikenard, which is the same oil that Jewish kings were anointed with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. I found it interesting that they said that her dress and cape seemed to be made of white and blue light. That's just something, really something. I have heard that before, too. And the pictures and the appearances over the church in Egypt, as they tuned, she appears to be made of light. And people said it was like she was made of light, but very distinct features anyway. We don't know how heaven works, but we know that it's really supernatural and special. So anyway, this vision of Mary floated toward Myrna along a stream of pure light that formed like a path through the sky from the tree. The virgin passed right through the railing of the terrace, stopping just 2 feet away, 2 feet away from where Myrna knelt. That's close. Then the Virgin Mary said, quote, "My children, be mindful of God because God is with us. You know much, but you really know nothing. Your knowledge is incomplete. One day, you will know everything as God knows me. Do good to evildoers. Do not mistreat anyone. I have given you oil, more than you have asked for. I give you something stronger than oil. Repent and believe. Be mindful of me in your joy. Announce my son, Emmanuel. He who announces him is saved. He who does not, his faith is in vain. Love one another, unquote. That's a nice bunch of things that she said there. She goes on to say, this is interesting, she says, quote, I do not ask you to give money to churches. I ask you to love. Those who give money to the poor and to the churches, but yet have not love, have lives of no value. So in other words, she's saying, if you just give money to give it, that's not good enough. You got to have the love for what you're doing and for those that it's going to.
That jives rather neatly with 1 Corinthians 13, which is sometimes known as the love chapter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she goes on to say, I will visit the homes of my children more frequently because those who go to church do not always go there to pray. I do not ask you to build a church for me, but rather a shrine. Give. Do not deprive anyone who asks for help. Be humble, my children. Do not insult the proud. Forgive them. Then you will be forgiven. Unquote. Boy, that sure sounds biblical, doesn't it? Oh, my. Fits right in. Then Mary raised her right hand, which held the rosary. A brightness enveloped her as she disappeared into the dazzling light. The Virgin continued to appear to Myrna after this, frequently emphasizing church unity and humility. That's church unity and humility. Two things that might be missing these days. Oh, any thoughts on that? This is 1982, 40 years ago. So then on December 19th, 1982, a man carried his paralyzed 9-year-old son into Myrna's bedroom where the icon was kept. Oil poured from Myrna's hands while she and the boy's father prayed over him. As she anointed his legs, the twisted limbs straightened out, and the boy stated excitedly that he could feel his legs for the first time in his life. The father screamed praises for the miracle, and his son ran and jumped and danced with great joy and many tears. Okay, you can't fake that. I'm sorry. That's impossible to fake. The untwisting of limbs and paralysis to disappear and the little boy to dance and run and jump. You can't fake that. That's a real miracle. What do y'all think of that?
Well, you can't fake the twisting of his legs. Even Chubby Checker couldn't do that.
Oh, man. we're going to have to get Mike his own show.
Well
comedy
done.
Show.
I wonder why he was born that way with the twisted legs. Was it show the glory of God when he was healed?
That fits with the disciples when they were with Jesus in the temple, and there was a man born blind, which he restored his sight. He said, who sinned, this guy or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one of them. He's the way he is so that the works of God may be made manifest in him.
Beautiful. That's right.
It fits right in.
It does, exactly. And so here is more proof that something very real and heavenly is going on. And again, Myrna and her family are just bewildered. This is happening to this average girl. She's not super religious or anything like that, but here all this is happening, which again is what you just said, Michael. It didn't happen to a nun. It happened to an average teenager. So it becomes more credible, actually, from someone who's not even that interested in most of this stuff and yet now finds herself in the middle of it and becoming quite popular in an unexpected way. Well, on December 31st, again, the same year, 1982, an official declaration was made by Patriarch Ignatius IV, Hazim, who had studied the supernatural events carefully. Recognition was spread throughout the Greek Orthodox churches in Damascus. Approval was granted by the Syrian Catholic Church. All right, so that's right off the bat in the first year. January 5th, 1983, a Muslim woman who was completely blind was healed and recovered her eyesight completely. It is now estimated that 100,000 people have witnessed these miracle healings from the oil with their own eyes. It is also estimated that over 1 million people have seen filmed documentation of these miracles. Even in 1988, as she traveled to speak about the apparitions and messages given to her, the healing oil continued to flow and heal more people. Kathy, let me ask you, you saw a video of the oil forming on her hands. Tell us a little bit more about one of those films that you saw.
If I can remember it, it's been probably 15 years since I watched it. But
wow.
She was talking to some people, and she started to, like, sweat. And I think the oil forms on her forehead as well. And I'm pretty sure she has the stigmata, or she suffers the stigmata during the Holy Week. And
right.
Her hands just started, you could see, like, it looked like sweat forming in droplets on her hands, and then she would rub them together, just be oil all over. I mean, you could see it was oil because she was just rubbing her hands together, and it looked like she's rubbing oil on them. And it's wild to see. I found it on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure we could all look that up. So on June 18th, 1990, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Damascus attested to being an eyewitness on several occasions to oil exuding from Myrna and her little icon. Here you go, Kathy. Myrna has also bore the stigmata on the Fridays preceding Easter. One video clearly shows the bloody outline of an unseen crown of thorns on her forehead. Her hands exhibit gaping wounds in each palm. She is seen in the video writhing in pain on her bed. Her husband, mother, and clergy are with her for those 3 hours. Then on May 31st, 1984, at 3 p.m., an oil began to flow from her forehead, face, neck, hands, and eyes. The pain in her eyes was excruciating. Then she went into an ecstasy and heard the voice of Jesus for the first time. Quote, "My daughter, I am the beginning and the end." Unquote. On October 15th, 1986, Myrna received a message for the world from Jesus. So this is for the world through her from Jesus. Quote, "My daughter, how beautiful is the earth. In this place I shall establish my kingdom and my peace. I shall give you my heart in order to have yours. Your sins are forgiven because you are looking for me. He who looks for me, I shall imprint my image in him. Tell my children to come for me, for I am with them at all times. Wow, what do you think of those messages from Jesus?
Well, we're supposed to have an era of peace, as in the fulfillment of the Our Father, on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
And so it's really exciting. I think it's really soon. This is the 80s,
yeah.
So it must be like tomorrow.
Yeah, 40 years later. All right. Well, although Myrna has no idea why she was chosen for these spiritual gifts, she treasures them and accepts her assignment. She encourages others to take these messages given to her seriously. It is not known if the oil ever stopped flowing from her palms, so she may still be offering the healing oil to this present day. I don't know of any recent talks that she has given to either of you, or you especially, Kathy. I mean, I don't know if she would still be going around. She would be about 58 now. Yeah, she'd be about 58 years old now.
Oh, my gosh, that's hard to believe, you know. I guess, yeah, it happened in the 80s, but I didn't see it until like 15 years ago, and she was, you know, young in the video, so.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe
yeah.
She'd be 58 now. I think I did hear something about her about 5 years ago. But, you know, it says in the Bible, what does it say in the Bible what happens to the city of Damascus in the end times? Doesn't it say that Damascus ceased to have anybody inhabit it?
I don't remember. Do you remember, Michael, anything about that?
No, but I do know that it was on the road to Damascus that Saul of Tarsus became St. Paul.
Right, right.
That's its moment in history, as far as I know.
Yeah. Well, Syria's been going through a hard, hard time. Oh, my goodness. Such a rough time over there right now. So, don't know. Don't know. And apparently, that's all we have, but I encourage people to check YouTube, check for Damascus Visionary or Myrna Alicaris.
Here it is.
Probably,
I found it, John.
Yeah.
It's Isaiah 17, a prophecy about Damascus. It says, a prophecy, this is the international version, I found it on the internet,
okay.
A prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. And then it says, the city of Aurora will be deserted and left to flock, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. And then
wow.
The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, and royal power from Damascus, the remnant of Aram, will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty.
Well,
so don't move to Damascus.
No. Nope. I know that we'll have another apparition coming up fairly soon here. I believe it was from Cuenca, Ecuador, and it will start a few years from now, in the late 80s. And I believe she had healing oil in her situation. And I know there were some icons that also dripped oil. I think we even had one in Kansas that had healing oil coming from it. So we'll take note as we go along now and look for those others as they pop up. Sometimes
also,
like
John.
Friends. Yes.
Also, the Protestants actually have a Bible that emits healing oil.
Well, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I have it sitting in a, like
a Bible that what?
It emits healing oil. I have the Bible sitting in a see-through tub, and it just emits healing oil. The Protestants have it.
Which branch?
It's a Protestant miracle. I can't remember.
Huh.
It's been so long ago.
Oh, yeah, Google that one. That'd certainly be one of a kind.
It's in America. Yeah, it's in America.
So this is one of the few. We do have one from Israel. We have one from Lebanon. Here's one from Syria. You know, so we do have the Middle East represented in these Marian apparitions. Maybe not as frequent, or at least we haven't heard the stories as frequently as we do from Europe and some other places. But it just shows you that she goes all over, and especially areas where it may be predominantly Muslim even. It doesn't stop her a bit, not a bit. As she puts it, everybody is, you know, are her children, everybody. And so
doesn't even slow her down.
No, she doesn't draw lines or boundaries between countries or cultures. She looks at the earth as all the people are her children. That doesn't mean she's happy with them all, but just like any of our children, we can raise them and put out our best plans for them, but they'll still go out there with their free will and do whatever. So we just like God didn't have control over Adam and Eve. That didn't go well. We all been paying for that ever since. So, anyway, we can only put souls on the earth and then hope that they follow a good path. These days, boy, that's rough. But anyway, so anyone else got anything to bring up tonight? We ended a bit early. Guess not. Okay. Next
I've been
week
reading
we'll
your
be
book, John.
Let's say.
I've been reading your book, and it is very good. Everybody should read it. It's all about heaven, hell, and that other place, which is the title. And I'm reading about heaven right now. And I'm worried that I'm going to end the heaven part and move on to hell and the other place because I'm really liking heaven. And it makes this world seem very tiresome.
Well, and it will mean more to you why I named the book The Intense Reality of Eternity, because whether you go to heaven and it's intensely joyful or hell, which is intensely terrifying, Tori, which might be a bit depressing, but they're all represented equally and with the same kind of detail. So I'll be really interested to hear as you go your other reactions. But I agree with you because I didn't know how it was going to add up until I put it all together. And I was blown away myself. It just, like you said, you don't want to leave heaven when you read it because it's just so breathtaking and beautiful and amazing. And I think you can tell as you listen to the descriptions, aren't they remarkably alike?
Yes, it is like, it's crazy how there, it's like, different people seeing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And these people are atheists and Muslims and, you know, not necessarily
children.
Believers. Children. Yeah. Oh, the children, you can tell when you're reading something from a child. It's so simple and pure. And there's just in heaven, there's Jesus and there's children all around him and flowers and animals and the children are frolicking with lions and they're like kittens rolling in the grass and Jesus has a big white horse and the kids like to play with the big white horse and is there's mansions that's prepared for you, and they're so beautiful you can't believe it, and it's just everything your heart would desire. And it even says in the Bible that God wants you to have the desires of your heart. And so that makes perfect sense. And it is a wonderful, it's wonderful to read, and it really keeps you super focused on the most important thing, getting everybody to heaven. And all your family is there, and they all know you, and they all have a party when you show up because they're so excited that you're there. Unless your grandpa dies at the same time and the party is for him, and they tell you to go back to sit your party.
Is that at the corner of Fourth and Hallelujah?
The corner of what, Mike?
My before my mother-in-law died, she told us that whichever one of us gets to heaven first, we need to meet her on the corner of Fourth and Hallelujah.
Well,
I'm sure it's
there. A lot of singing, a lot of music, and a lot of singing in heaven. Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah,
it's just phenomenal what they describe. And like you said,
exciting.
Kathy, I was just so impressed that it didn't matter where the person was from, how they died, what age they were, what country they were from, what culture. Or even if they're atheist, it didn't matter. The descriptions are still the same.
And it's always Jesus.
Yeah. And I figured that this might happen if I put all those different accounts together, that it might show that. But I had no idea it would be that powerful and that so much alike. It just blew me away when I had that final putting it together. So I'm real happy that you're loving it because, I mean, I have to admit, I love my own book. I'm loving it, too, because of what it
you better.
Has taught me. Oh, my gosh. Well, Mike, it just teaches you so much. Many questions that you might have. Like, miscarriages grow up in heaven.
When you wrote Heaven, Hell, or that other place, what did you base the descriptions on? Because you've never been there.
Oh, well, it comes from three sources. Visions from Marian visionaries, which like the Fatima children when they were shown hell, for example. Saints, when they were given spiritual journeys. And then most vividly, near-death experiences where people died anywhere from a couple minutes to maybe even a couple of days and then came back to life. And then what I did is I mixed all that together, all of it together, side by side, what has been said, and in an order, so it's one journey with all these hundreds of descriptions as you go on the one journey. And it doesn't matter who said it, where it came from, what the source was, as Kathy will say, they are just alike, no matter how that bit of information came. So that's what is very impressive. It's not like the saints say things differently or the Marian visionaries see anything differently or the atheists see anything differently or Hindus or Buddhists see anything differently. It just all comes out the same. And and I'm just happy.
Well, there was descriptions of the gold. You know, the streets are paved with gold in heaven, but the gold is see-through like glass, and you can see straight through it. And they all describe it like this. And John even included a part in the Bible that described the streets of gold in heaven, or the streets in heaven are paved with gold and is like a translucent glass. And that was out of the Bible. And then one of the near-death people, I think his name was Gary Wood, he said that a NASA scientist told him that there is an impurity within gold, and when it's removed, it's see-through like glass.
Mm.
And there's nothing.
Did you hear?
There's nothing impure in heaven. So
the story is told of a very rich man who was dying. He didn't want to leave Earth, and he begged the angel of death to let him take something with him from Earth. So the angel finally relented and let him take one thing. His suitcases were packed. they were extremely heavy, and he was having a hard time. He was having a hard time carrying them, as heavy as they were. And the angel said, when they got to the pearly gates, the angel said, "Well, let's take a look and see what you brought." Opened up a suitcase, and there was all these gold bars. "What are you doing bringing pavement? We got plenty of that stuff."
That's good. Well, and for any listener, the official name of the book is The Intense Reality of Eternity, with subtitle Heaven, Hell, and That Other Place. And I did that on purpose because I knew Protestants would first of all say, "What other place?" and some others might say that too and get them to open the book and look inside. But anyway, it's been fun to put together, and no one's done it like that before, you know, combining hundreds of accounts into one trip. And so you don't have to read 50-some books. You can just read one and get everything from those 50-some books. And that just really is amazing how it adds up. And I'm sure, Kathy, you recognized a lot of the people's names, too. They're from, oh, my gosh, over the years, you know, famous names we've heard of, like Danion Brinkley and some others that had well-known experiences.
Colton Burpo, Heaven is for Real.
Yep.
I read that book.
Yep. And anyway, so it's all there. And now when I hear of a near-death encounter or some kind of spiritual journey, I listen real carefully because I hope and pray it's not going to be contrary or different than what I came up with. And so far, everyone mirrors what I already have in the book. So it makes me feel confident that I must have gotten pretty good consensus in the book. So anyway, it was fun, but sure answered so many questions. Mike, even like how we communicate in heaven, how we see things 360 degrees, and we can see something 10 inches away as clearly as something 10 miles away. I mean, they say our senses are supercharged, and everything is just incredibly heightened. In fact, one person said, "Earth is the shadow of reality. This is the real thing in heaven. Earth is a shadowy existence, and heaven is the real thing." And I thought that was pretty interesting to think of it that way. So anyway, well, next week we will be going to San Nicolas, or St. Nick, well, San Nicolas, Argentina. The years will be 1983 through 1990. So you can see how a lot of these overlap. Tonight's was 1982 to 1990, and this is, the next one is 1983 to 1990. And some really good messages coming out of that one, which were approved just a few years ago. Pretty powerful messages that, Kathy, you'll be interested in. They talk about end times and 3 days of darkness and that kind of stuff. So this visionary really got a lot of interesting messages, and a lot of interesting stuff happened with her too. So we'll cover that starting next week, and hopefully Mike will be thawed out by then, because he told me he is surrounded by snowdrifts and unable.
Oh, we could use some of that oil to melt this snow over here.
Better start praying.
I'm hoping we get lots of snow on Wednesday.
Oh my God!
There you go.
Yeah, well, I'm staying home. I'm not doing that trip.
I don't blame you, but
yeah, I'm driving right. And in fact, the same weather is predicted right where I live, so I probably wouldn't even get out of my own driveway, let alone travel 2.5 hours. So, anyway.
Well, me and the hubby, we will get out the side-by-side, and we will tie the sled on the back of it, and then we will drag these children all over these hills.
Oh, I love that.
Well, the dog barks and chases them.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, the dogs are jealous. They want to go for a ride, too.
You know, John.
Last time he did get into.
You know, Eric Clapton, who did the song Layla, also did another song. The other song he did was called Holy Mother.
Yeah, I remember him doing that now that you mention that, Mike. And he did one, Tears in Heaven, too, for his son.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I have all of them.
That's great. Well, guys, we're about to that point where we'll sign off and do our Hail Mary around the world. And we appreciate you two joining me tonight. It always makes the show 10 times better than me just talking to the air. So I'm sure glad you guys were there, and we'll see you all next week. And who knows who else might sign on. We've had two or three others join us, so we'll see what happens next week. But to all of you listening out there all around the world, we appreciate you tuning in. We know you're there because we used to check on you all the time, and you were always tuning in from places like the island Malta in the Mediterranean and out in the South Pacific and even over in China and Vietnam. And it was amazing how many people were tuning in from all over the planet. So Donald figured up as many as we wrote down about 130 countries. And then he later calculated through something it was up more towards 200 countries that have tuned in. So we're glad that there's interest in this, and we hope that you've enjoyed listening. And we appreciate all that you do out there in taking this information and passing it on to other people. If they want to hear the show, they're all recorded. You can pretty much Google them, this date, Blog Talk Radio, Deeper Truth, and this date, and it should come up. And anyway... So, good night to you, Mike and Kathy, and we will now proceed with our Hail Mary. So, everybody out there, pray with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. Join us next week as we go to Argentina for a fascinating story from down that direction in South America. And so, good night.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Let it be.